Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies had ended up being a loss last night against the Kings, 129-125. We're going to talk about that loss on today's show. We're going to talk about the idea of starting Brandon Clark, getting a better run-and-gun type of athletic lineup in the starting lineup. And we're also going to talk about the Grizzlies taking on the Lakers tonight on Friday night on a back-to-back as well. All that and more on today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull-up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the show again, talking to the Grizzlies' loss last night. The Grizzlies just, you know, it was a game where you just got down. You cannot get down 18 points to a game, to any team in the NBA. Literally to any team, I don't care how bad they are, and you just cannot get down 18 points to a team in the NBA and expect to come back. And if you do come back, it's going to be difficult. And when you finally get there, it just takes so much effort to get back into a game in a situation where you got to get there. And then it takes even more effort to get over that hump, and it takes even more effort to get a lead. And so it's really what you saw last night. You know, the starters from the Grizzlies just weren't really, really that great outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. Ja Morant is just, he wasn't good. He still ended up with 19 points, a couple assists, but he turned it on just a little too late. Now, he was just not great last night. He was, got really outplayed by De'Aaron Fox. Ja Morant has not boded well against De'Aaron Fox all season this year. And so, every time they match up, and we've talked about a little bit about this on a previous show against the Grizzlies Kings matchup, and it's just simple that De'Aaron Fox is like staring in the mirror for Ja Morant. He's just so good in terms of how fast he is, how good he is with the ball. So, you know, it's a lot of staring Ja Morant in the mirror. And so De'Aaron Fox has done really, really good job just containing Ja Morant throughout the year, has played him extremely well. I mean, I would say probably one of the better players that's played Ja Morant all year in terms of De'Aaron Fox. And I know that I said that last night on Twitter, and Keith, our good buddy from Fast Break Breakfast, pointed out that Jrue Holiday beat him up pretty well as Ben Simmons. And that's true. I mean, he didn't play well against those guys at all either. However, he's not played well against De'Aaron Fox all year long. And so he's just kind of had his number. And same thing last night. He didn't play well. And he ended up with 19 points. A lot of those points came in the fourth quarter, but it just was a little too late. I mean, he got there and he was good in the end, but even then he still had some rookie mistakes. He tried to miss a second of a free throw because they were down three late, because the Kings did everything they could to give this game away. They literally tried everything, and the Grizzlies just couldn't get there. And Ja Morant just had a rookie mistake, and that's what ended up doing for you at the end of the game. Even when they had an opportunity to be there, he still had this, he tried to throw it off the backboard. You can't enter the lane until it hits the rim. And so it's just mental mistakes. Same thing. Jaren Jackson Jr. had an offensive foul late, a charge that wasn't very, was just kind of wasn't smart, and it's just little things. Again, I blame Ja Morant more than I blame Jaren Jackson Jr. on that offensive foul, that illegal screen, because Ja has to know that Jaren has to get set first. You can't go that quick around a screen. Jaren has to get set first, or else he's always going to be moving, because he's going to be moving to try to get into a screening position. So that's more on Ja Morant as the point guard it is than it is on the screener, because you got to let your guy get set to before you move. I mean, there's always going to be movement in those screens up top. Like it happens in almost every possession, but you got to be able to know when there's their limits, where you got to know and feel the game a little bit better in terms of that screen. So that's more on Ja Morant than it is on Jaren Jackson Jr., that illegal screen. So you just had some rookie mistakes, and you know, like, those are going to happen. Those were always going to happen throughout the year, and I promise you, you know, he won't ever enter the lane early again, because he'll remember those type of things. So Ja Morant's not a guy that's going to commit more than one mistake over and over again. He's just not that type of guy. And so he just didn't have enough of what the Grizzlies needed, and just not enough of it late. Not enough of it early. He had it there late in the game, but it just wasn't there when they needed it in the second quarter, the first quarter. Again, even Ja Morant, you know, like, being what he was, you just defensively, you can't get down 18 points. I mean, the Grizzlies let Harrison Barnes shoot, let me see what he shot, 7 for 11 from 3, and there was a point where he was 7 for 7. I mean, you can't let Harrison Barnes shoot 100% from 3. And when you got a guy that shot even 4 from 4 from 3, if you're Jonas Valanciunas, you have to, like, not stand right in front of the rim. Like, not be right in front of the rim, because that doesn't work. And so the Grizzlies, they kudos to the Taylor Jenkins. Once the lineup of Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., Tyus Jones, DeAnthony Melton, and Josh Jackson got them back in the game, that lineup is what got them in the game and cut the lead to the fourth quarter where they had a chance. That lineup got them there. He didn't go back to Jonas Valanciunas, so kudos to Taylor Jenkins. I didn't think, I tweeted all night, like, you cannot go back to Jonas Valanciunas. You cannot go back big, because they are just constantly killing you as a big. I mean, he cannot step out at all. I mean, even a little bit. I don't know whether it's, again, it seems at this point almost a refusal, because even on a guy like Harrison Barnes, where you know that all he's going to do is shoot three, you have to step out on Harrison Barnes when he's 4 from 4, 5 from 5, 6 from 6. When he's shooting 100% from three, you got to do something other than stand in front of the rim. And that's just something they weren't able to do last night. I mean, you can't let the Kings shoot 48% from three, almost 50% from three, 19 for 39. I understand sometimes players and teams just get hot. I get that. I really do. But we've seen this too much from the Grizzlies, where they let teams shoot really, really well from the perimeter. And so it's not in terms of a team gets hot. And yes, that last night was a combination of the Grizzlies' bad perimeter defense. And we've seen bad perimeter defense before, where other teams shoot really, really well from three. So it's not a thing where every single team just happens to have a good, really good shooting night against the Grizzlies. Just like luck of the draw, they just get really hot against the Grizzlies from 3-point. And that's just not how it works. And so there is a common theme for the Grizzlies. The common theme is that they are going to have to improve their perimeter defense. And when they went to the lineup of, you know, of Clark, Jaren, they do a little bit more efficiently of switching defenses. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in the second segment. But that is a lineup that allowed them to get back into the game. And so you give up a little, yes, but I think you gain a lot in terms of that lineup. Again, Jonas Valanciunas just wasn't good. Dylan Brooks still struggling mightily from the 3-point line, 0 for 6 last night, just has not played well since really right before he signed that contract, has really had a bad slump. And I think that's just, it's going to happen. I think it was a combination if he was shooting really, I think Chris Harrington tweeted this last night, it was a combination of him being really, really good in terms of shooting the ball early on. And so a lot of those kind of like really dumb shots were going in. Like, they were like, okay, well, that works. And then now they're not going in, so those shots look they look exacerbated. Like they look way worse than they would have been before, because he hits them before. So Dylan Brooks, the ultimate confidence guy, thinks, well, if I've hit him before, I can just take him again. So in terms of what Dylan's doing, you know, he's got to take more shots within the flow of the offense, and I think he'll get back there. I think this is just a slump. I wouldn't put too much stock into him not shooting well. I think he'll get back there. Jaren played really well last night. He shot the ball well last night again, 4 from 9 from 3. I thought that was really good for him to get really kind of, because he had been not shooting that well either, kind of right before the All-Star break. So I thought it was a good shooting night for him. But the players of the night were the bench. Brandon Clark was fantastic. De'Anthony Melton was absolutely fantastic, automatic from the free throw line. De'Anthony Melton is the only reason the Grizzlies even had a shot in that game last night. 10 for 10 from the line, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block. I mean, he was literally everywhere. And so him and the combination of him and Tyus Jones last night are the only reasons the Grizzlies had any chance in that game. And Tyus Jones, only 18 minutes, 16 points, 6 assists, no turnovers, hasn't had a turnover in the entire month of February, by the way, 3 rebounds. I mean, just fantastic between those two guys alone. And those are the only reason the Grizzlies had any shot in making this a game at all. And so that and the Kings tried to give it away. But De'Anthony Melton and Tyus Jones played fantastic. I did not think that Jang played very well. But again, second game that he's really played, 13 minutes, he had really didn't do much at all. I thought that was not great. But again, you'll kind of move forward and see what happens with him. Again, De'Anthony Melton, Josh Jackson had an absolutely excellent game. It's not like he scored a bunch. He only scored 11 points, but he was everywhere. Defensively, he was fantastic. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He only has 1 block on the box score, but I know he had more than 1 block. They didn't credit him for all the blocks that he had. But I thought it was easily one of his better games as a Grizzly, for sure. I mean, he was literally everywhere that you wanted to do. Athletically, he is so much better in terms of switching defenses. I mean, I think he in that lineup, playing a 3/4, is just exactly what we've talked about on this podcast, what people have written about all over the city in terms of what Josh Jackson can do in a lineup for the Grizzlies. And then you had Marco Goodrich getting 7 minutes. I don't know what that was about. That was weird. I have no idea where that came from. He hasn't played in a long time. Threw him out there, and he had 1 layup and then had like a really bad defensive play, which is kind of like the epitome of Marco Goodrich. Just did not play well at all. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about the Grizzlies going to more athletic lineup. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies Kings from last night. The Grizzlies lose 129-125, and this is a game that they really needed to win. Like, they really needed that win because that was the game I only thought they were going to win on this road trip, and a 4-game road trip where it is very difficult to find wins. It's very difficult to find wins the rest of this season, but in this particular road trip, they needed this game against the Kings so badly. And I know you want to, you know, really want to put expectations on teams and, you know, this team or whatever, but if you're going to make the playoffs, and if you're a playoff caliber team, then you have to beat the teams that are underneath you. You have to beat the teams that are worse than you. And that's exactly what the Sacramento Kings are. But again, we talked about in the first segment, getting down big, letting them shoot that well. Just, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I think that starts to eliminate if you put Brandon Clark in the starting lineup. Yes, I think it's time to move Jonas Valanciunas to the bench. I think it's time to bring Brandon Clark to the starting unit. What have we seen time and time again? The Grizzlies' best lineup is Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., and a smaller, more athletic lineup where they can do a lot of different things. I think Brandon Clark being in the lineup, in the starting lineup, lets them get out to a much better start. We've seen over the past few games, the problem is they have had not a great start at all. And the same thing last night, not a great start. Then you have to come back and try to make that up with Brandon Clark. But the idea of having Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. together in the starting lineup gives you the opportunity to make headway in the first quarter instead of trying to come back at the end of the first, going into the second quarter when those guys actually start to come in. And even, you know, again, they're not playing Jonas Valanciunas all that much in the first quarter anyway. I mean, Brandon Clark's coming in pretty early. You might as well go ahead and make the switch. Brandon Clark in, Jonas Valanciunas out. That way, Jonas Valanciunas also has the opportunity to play against some role players and probably dominate those guys in terms of what he's able to do off the bench. So I think it's time for the Grizzlies to really take a long look at their starting lineup and what they can do to more effectively kind of get out to a better start in each one of these games. You look at some of the games they have coming up. They have the Lakers tonight, which they play a little bit more big. You know, they play Anthony Davis as a power forward. They have Dwight Howard mostly as a center. So that's a little bit different. But a lot of the games they have coming up, the Clippers, the Rockets, the Kings again, the Hawks, a lot of these teams are playing more small lineups. They're playing more athletic lineups. We talked about it a little bit in the first segment of the show. This lineup lets them, if they want to, they can go switchable on every single screen. Now, that gets you into some trouble in terms of what, if you have a really good guard like De'Aaron Fox, he's really able to exploit those matchups sometimes. So You have to be careful when you're switching, but you can do it if you need to. If you have a guy like Harrison Barnes last night who is just getting super hot and playing extremely well and shooting the ball extremely well from three, you can immediately go to a switching defense and eliminate that. You saw it last night. As soon as I had a switching defense that was able to just switch every screen and not allow him to get even a little bit open, it was a much, much better defense. Now, they were, you know, again, they got taken advantage of sometimes. Brandon Clark got beat off the dribble by De'Aaron Fox. And again, that's going to happen. In every defensive situation, you're going to give up something sometimes to do something else. And so, you know, when you're switching defense, yes, that you're going to give those things up in terms of switching Brandon Clark on someone like De'Aaron Fox. But I think in terms of what you're able to do most of the time, you're not going to play De'Aaron Fox every single night. And Brandon Clark, for the most part, is good enough to stay in front of most of those guys in terms of just getting back defensively on the regular. So at least playing well enough to get back to a guard coming and taking back over, things like that. So, and same thing with Jaren Jackson Jr. He's good enough to stay in front of other players. We've seen it against not only himself, we've seen it against, against other players, not just last night, but he's shown time and time again before the All-Star break that he is good enough to stay in front of players on the regular. And so I think Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark in the starting lineup as a more athletic bigs is the way to go. I think you have to make that change sooner rather than later, because it is I'm looking at the schedule and it's hard to look and find wins over the next, you know, second half of the schedule. Again, the Lakers tonight, which you're probably not going to win. The Clippers, you're probably not going to win on Monday. Wednesday at the Rockets, that's, again, probably not going to win. Then the next probable winnable game is a week from now, next Friday, when the Sacramento Kings come to FedEx Forum. So you still have a long way to go, and you need to deploy every strategy you can to be able to get any type of win, to try to steal one on the road. I think that's their only bet now, is to try to steal one of these games to go 1-3. 0-4 was the worst thing you could do. And now you have to look and try to steal one just to go 1-3 on this road trip. And I think it starts with Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr. in the lineup, possibly even De'Anthony Melton, although I think you would keep De'Anthony Melton and a reserve role on the second unit because he's playing fantastic with and alongside Tyus Jones. They are playing really, really well together. They understand each other. They have clicked very, very well. So, but again, starting with Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr. together in the starting lineup is a really, really effective way for the Grizzlies to go. They have to play this more small ball for the Grizzlies. Even if you put Josh Jackson at the three, Dylan at the two, I mean, those are some pretty big guys to be able to, pretty big and athletic guys to be able to stay with a lot of people. So that's a lineup I'll be interested to see as well. Ja, Dylan, Josh, Brandon, and Jaren Jackson Jr. But again, starts with Brandon and Jaren starting together. I think the Grizzlies have to make that move sooner rather than later. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We'll finish up with the Grizzlies versus the Lakers tonight. Again, the Lakers, they play mostly a big lineup. They play Anthony Davis is technically probably, would be a center by most comparisons, but I don't think he wants to be a center. I think it's made that very clear over his career, but he plays mostly at the four with JaVale and McGee starting, and then they bring Dwight Howard off the bench. However, Dwight Howard plays most of the minutes. JaVale McGee only plays like 10 minutes a game, and then Dwight Howard plays most of the rest of the minutes at center. So the most likely lineups you'll see is Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis and LeBron James together on the court, which is that's a big lineup, guys. I mean, that's tough. And so we just talked about having a smaller lineup and more athletic in terms of what the Grizzlies should do. And yes, I still think they should go with a smaller lineup, Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. against Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis, because we've seen the other way around. Quite frankly, we've seen them go with Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. against those particular guys and that particular lineup with the Lakers earlier in the season, and it's been both the results in two losses. So, you know, it's not like what you were doing before worked. So you have to be able to adjust in terms of what you're doing with the Grizzlies lineups to just find an inch anywhere, to find something somewhere that makes you better than the other guy. Now, the Lakers don't shoot the three ball very well. You know, they're not a huge 3-point shooting team. However, they get to the rim a lot. They are another team, much like the Grizzlies, who rely on a lot of paint points. They get to the rim and shoot inside the paint a hell of a lot more than most teams. They are actually second in the league, right behind the Grizzlies in terms of points in the paint. So it's something that they're going to have to do in terms of interior defense. If the Grizzlies do use Jonas Valanciunas against, which I would most likely, I don't think they're going to change the lineup because I said so. And Taylor Jenkins has given no indication ever that he's going to change the lineup with Jonas Valanciunas coming out. So the most likely scenario is that Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. are playing together in the alongside each other in the interior. So you have to do a good job of protecting the paint. And I think it will be a better job with Jonas having Dwight, having a bigger center, more traditional center. But it's not like it's worked before, but we'll see. I mean, the Grizzlies have to be able to rebound the ball well. Every guard, every wing has to go rebound the ball. One of the best rebounding teams in the league with the Lakers. They're, you know, sixth in the league in total rebounds. They do a really, really good job of offensive rebounding the ball, 10th in the league in offensive rebounds. So the Grizzlies the Jaren Jackson Jr., the bigs alongside with the wings, everybody has to rebound the ball extremely well. The other part of that on the other side is the Grizzlies have to still be able to do a good job of scoring in the paint, and now would be a great time for Dylan Brooks to be able to shoot the ball well again because they don't guard the perimeter all that well, the Lakers don't. So it is one weakness in terms of their defense that you can exploit is perimeter shooting. The Grizzlies do, you know, if they're able to hit shots, if Jaren Jackson Jr. is able to draw Anthony Davis out and hit shots, that could be a huge advantage for the Grizzlies. Being able to shoot the three ball really, really well could be a huge advantage for the Grizzlies. And so I would look for Jaren to shoot early and often and maybe take advantage of Anthony Davis not coming all the way out to the perimeter to guard him. Although there's enough sample size that Anthony Davis should, although I don't know if he will. The other thing is John Morant getting to the rim. The Lakers are the best team in the league at blocking shots inside the paint. And so not only are they one of the better teams in scoring the paint, they're also one of the better teams in terms of protecting the paint. And so John Morant will probably take a couple blocks tonight early on and only realize that he has to do something different. And John Morant has to be smart enough to understand that they're always going to be looking to block shots. Between Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, they're always going to be looking to block shots. So what can you do differently? You know, using the head fake, using the ball fake, all those things to get them off a little bit, just enough off kilter so they can't recover to block shots or find people in the corners for three open threes. Like, those are the things that John Morant has to do, and you're going to need an excellent game from John Morant to be able to win this game against the Lakers. That's for sure. But he has to be able to understand that those big guys are always going for the blocks, and what can he do differently to make them think, make them second guess, or get them off just totally off defense. So that's something the Grizzlies are going to have to do as well. Between Jaren and Ja, the three-point shooting and inside the paint scoring, those are going to be the best options they can do in terms of winning this game. The other thing is the bench. The bench has to be good again, and the bench has been great all year long. The Lakers don't have just a fantastic bench. I mean, they have, you've seen Kyle Kuzma play a lot off the bench. I just don't, Avery Bradley as a starter, but Kyle Kuzma, some of their bench guys, technically Dwight Howard is a bench guy too, but you've seen a lot of guys that come off the bench, they're just okay. You know, they're only playing four deep on the bench, Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard, and Kyle Kuzma usually coming off the bench. Those are like the main bench guys. And so they're okay. They're not great, but the Grizzlies are coming off a back-to-back on a game that was a really, really long game. The bench players played a lot as it is, so I'll be interested to see what happens with the bench. I think the Grizzlies bench against the Lakers bench probably have an edge there, and so their best use of the bench is Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton creating offense from your defense. We saw a lot of that last night. Josh Jackson playing really good defense, them getting out in the open transition, running up and down the court. That is the Grizzlies bench best offense, is creating offense through their defense. So I think you'll hopefully see a lot of that from the Grizzlies bench, because I think they'll need it. It's one of their better the benches in the league for the Grizzlies. So that's something they're definitely going to have to rely on if they want to win this game against the Lakers tonight. The Grizzlies have a really, really tough, just a tough matchup against the Lakers. They play this Lakers team not far. Like, I think they play them five games from now too. So again, they have a lot of teams that they play very, very close together, back-to-backs, or very, very close together, same teams in the next few weeks. So the Grizzlies are going to have to go out and steal one, because the Lakers are playing really, really good basketball right now. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe to whatever podcast platform you're using, Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple iTunes. If you're on Apple iTunes, I haven't asked for this in a while, but if you're in Apple iTunes, make sure you go and leave a review, rate the show. It really helps us out in the iTunes ranking. Make sure you go subscribe as well, whatever podcast platform you're using, so you don't miss any episode every single day, any conversations that we have our excellent guest on weekly as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back on Monday with a Monday mailbag. You guys make sure you get your questions in over the weekend. If you are not familiar with the show, we have a Monday mailbag every single week. You can ask the questions. I'll answer them. You can DM those questions to me on Twitter. You can reply to the usual tweet I put out on Sundays asking for questions. Any of those things work. You can email me, lockedongrizz@gmail.com as well. Any of those things work. Just make sure you get your questions in before Monday so we can get those answered. And we'll see you guys next week.